Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. After enduring 16 grueling years of chronic pain and illness, she healed herself completely and now is obsessed with guiding others in her signature one-on-one coaching program. With support, consistency, and accountability, clients learn to get out of pain and heal their symptoms for good. Now, Jeannie has something special just for you. It's a brand new free training. Start your journey with her free 24-hour stress detox. It's a powerful mini course designed to give you a simple but effective reset. In less than 15 minutes, you'll gain evidence-based tools and step-by-step guidance to complete your own stress detox. Stress, as we often discuss on this show, is a major contributor to TMS symptoms that impact your well-being, your relationships, and your career. If you're sick of feeling like this, then you deserve the detox. Are you ready to begin? Check out the show notes to sign up for immediate access. What a last funky couple of weeks for the year. With Christmas being on a Wednesday and then New Year's being on a Wednesday, it's become challenging to put out episodes for a couple weeks. I took last week off, spent some time with the family and did some hikes with the kids, and it was a really good time. We are going to go back. How far back is this? May 12th, 2021, Karen Isaacs, who I think the world of, hello Karen, if you're listening, she was one of the rare opportunities on this show where you get to hear from somebody who was actually treated by Dr. Sarno. So it's really great to hear her story. It's about 40 minutes long, and it's a wonderful interview that's now 3.5 years old. And I will tell you, as you hear this, it's January 2nd, 2025. That means that the podcast has aired in 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 2025. That's pretty incredible that this show's been on the air for that long. And the hope is that at the same time in a year, we'll still be chatting. I want to do a little bit of a 2024 review, sort of gathering my thoughts, and maybe that'll come next week or the following week. Not the best year, I would say. 2023 was so great in so many ways. There were so many highlights. And 24, just, it was... It's kind of a mid year, as the kids say, mid for a few reasons. And I don't even know if there are specific reasons, but a big part of this is being able to just be okay with what is, whether it's good or bad, because it is just what it is. So maybe we'll talk more about that in the future. But this is Karen Isaacs and I, again, episode 175 from May 12th, 2021. I hope you had a great new year and we will talk next week. Let's listen in to Karen and I. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, as always, and with me is Karen Isaacs calling from Long Island, New York. Karen, are you there right now?
Yes, I am.
accents are always such a cool thing. I don't know if you feel this way in New York, but I can tell you that I was born in California and then I moved to Seattle, and we don't feel on the West Coast that we have any accent at all. But I would guess that, I mean... If you're in New York, do you think you have an accent or do you not think you have an accent?
So I'm married to a guy from Brooklyn. I don't know if anyone knows, you know, it's like a how you doing thing.
Yeah.
So he's compared to him, I don't, but I do. Okay. I know I do. Yeah.
Okay. That's funny. Well, hey, thanks for joining me. Now, we got synced up over email, and I think that yours was one of the ones that a few weeks back I had embarrassingly caught up on emails. I was on the air, and I had caught up on emails, and there were some people that were, you know, it had been months, and then a couple cases it was almost, I think it was like a year or two, and I was so embarrassed. But thankfully, you did email me back after after I had said, hey, you know, I'm so embarrassed. I definitely want to chat. So I love recovery stories. I was thinking that in the first year or so that I was doing this podcast, the goal was to have like expert after expert on. So I had Nicole Sachs and Howard Schubiner and David Clark and David Schechter and all that kind of stuff. But I've really sort of pivoted in the last year because I just find recovery stories so compelling. And that's what you're here to talk about.
Yes, I am.
So maybe tell us, I'd love to just start with you just sort of telling what was your... either biggest diagnosis or biggest symptoms? Like, what were the debilitating ones? And then we'll go backwards and go into the story.
Okay. And if I go off on a tangent, just, you know, jump in.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first one, and I didn't realize I was 17, so I'm going to be 60 tomorrow. So it's a long time ago. I woke up with this severe headache in my left eye and just lived on, back then it was called Furanol and whatever medications. But skipping ahead, when I was about 30, just out of the blue, I had a bad back. I went to a chiropractor for 3 years. I had childhood trauma that I was dealing with. And I actually said to my therapist one day, I think I have all this rage that's lodged in my back. And I don't know why I said it. And 2 days later, I heard about Dr. Sarno. And right away, the minute I heard about him, it was like, of course, it made sense. So when I went to him, and he never took x-rays, but I just trusted the process. He said, you're a classic TMS patient. He listened to all my childhood traumas, and just my personality was exactly, you know, the type of personality. And my back aches went away very quickly, within 2 months gone. But then I suffered with, you know, all the usual TMS imperatives, and I would call him for each one. And because once you were a patient, you were always a patient. And he would say whatever he'd say, the pain would go away. I was referred to the group that Dr. Arlene Feinblatt conducted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then that pain went away. And it was, you know, just all the usual. And then I went, and then I went to a TMS therapist who he referred in New York for about 9 years, and she helped. But I felt like I wasn't quite, something wasn't clicking, because obviously I kept getting new pains, and the headaches, which were the first one, which freaked me out the most. I happened to watch All the Rage, and I heard about Nicole Sachs, and between you, Nicole, Dan Buglia were my first three people that I just listened to relentlessly. And I also share, I've had dislocations, so your podcast helped me because of the sports aspect. Yeah. And the working out. So as soon as I found Nicole's podcast and yours, I just plowed through them relentlessly. And all of a sudden things clicked, and knocking wood, as I say this, that I hardly get headaches anymore. I mean, they were at least once or twice a week. They would take me down for the day. And I've learned to self-soothe and not freak. And that has been the key for me.
So this is crazy, because I was just talking to somebody this morning who's a listener, and he had asked, hey, you know, most of the recovery stories I hear on your podcast are people that are, you know, 1 or 2 years in, and that doesn't really apply to me because it's been going on for so long. But you're saying you had this crazy issue. You went and saw the, you know, the czar of this stuff. Yes. Decades ago. And then, you know, fast forward to 2017, 18, 19, you know, sometime around there, and you're dealing with new issues. Did I get that correct?
No. The headaches have been the consistent first one 43 years ago that never went away.
Okay.
And all the new issues that would come up, I'd call Sarno. I mean, this was a funny one. I had a toe problem. The surgeon said, you have to have toe surgery. You won't be able to walk in 10 years. I freaked out. I called Sarno, and I'll never forget, he said, hogwash, put your heels back on. And I remember that so clearly. This was now 20 years ago. And I think, you know, I never had a long commute. I was going through a long commute, moving in with my now husband. So anyway, my toe is fine 18, 19 years later.
So this question might sound, if this is super confusing, please just say so. But okay. One thing that I think about often when I hear stories like that, because I've had a few people that went and saw Dr. Sarno, that, and the tone to which they tell the story is always very similar. So I feel like he treated every patient about the same. Yes. I've had issues in the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 months, you know, certain things that I feel like are new or different. And then my wife, you know, we love each other. We, you know, we're married and all that kind of stuff, but she will very candidly just say, and really like diminish whatever sort of a symptom it is that I'm having, and just saying, this is the same as all the other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, This is nothing new.
Exactly.
So, I'm at a point now where, like, when she does that, like, I can laugh it off. Whereas, you know, if it happened 5 or 6 years ago, I would really think that she was being demeaning or anything. You know, if she was using that same vernacular back then, were you at a point when you would call Sarna with a new issue and he would kind of, you know, whatever? Like, could you laugh that off, or did you ever have a point where, like, you were offended by it? Okay,
no, never offended. I'm a New Yorker. I love a direct person. He doesn't beat around the bush. He was very gruff. But in his gruff way. And the therapist I went to was like Nicole in that, you know, he was their hero. I mean, she worked at Rusk Institute. She was, you know, he was everything to her.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So I left.
And that's Dr. Feinblatt.
No, this actually Kirsten Fliegler. Okay. I don't know that she's so active in this, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Did you listen to my episode that I did with Dr. Feinblatt and Dr. Sherman?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yep.
Cool. Yeah,
and it's interesting, Dr. Feinblatt, I'll never forget when I went to her, I don't know, I was in my mid-30s. I was so intimidated by her, and I remember wanting her approval that I wasn't one of them. And I was one of them, meaning the people. But it's just interesting. And now, you know, I don't know what my point is with that, but I just remember distinctly.
I feel like maybe a part of it is the no nonsense, no BS tone that she has.
Yes.
And I mean, what do you think is about that? You've come across a lot of different people in this TMS space now in the last 43 years. And it kind of seems like a lot of them have kind of a no BS, you know,
yes.
Attitude. What do you think that is?
Well, this is a great question, because I'm very much that way. I'm very to the point in my career, and it's a confidence. There's no doubt in their mind. So that's actually reassuring to me.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a couple Christmases ago, my wife had a episode where she, and I save the videos and I watch them every so often, of her trying to walk outside, but she had this back spasm that just, I mean, it crushed her for a good 6 or 7 days. And she, you know, she read the Sarno book and all that kind of stuff, and she did the journaling and the lists and all that kind of thing, and she ended up getting better. But I remember really trying to walk that, because it was the first time where I had somebody really close in my life that experienced something so debilitating since I had found Sarno. And so trying to walk the line of, you know, being an empathetic husband, but then also like, babe, this is bullshit.
Right. know? Right. And I'm married. I mean, on the other topic, in my mid-40s, I one day just started to limp. And I think the limp became for before the pain. And then the pain came. And then I went to Sarno thinking I had a hip problem. He said, no, it's TMS. The pain got really bad. My therapist was also 100% convinced that it was TMS. I then went to Dr. Rauschbaum, who took over Sarno's practice. He said it was TMS. I begged him. I mean, at this point, it was so severe. It was hard. It was, you know, I was 50 years old. I couldn't walk. I couldn't lift my leg up in the car. I begged him for x-rays. I hobbled to NYU. The next day, Rauschbaum called and said, well, you know, you have severe arthrosis. You may or may not need a hip replacement. And at this point, Sarno retired. My therapist didn't think I needed it, but I had it. I had some complications, but I don't regret it. And yeah, I mean, it was crazy.
Interesting. So, so you thought that it was a TMS thing, and then Rauschbaum, after getting imaging, he had said otherwise?
Right.
Okay.
And yeah, well, I think this goes back to your point about there wasn't a confidence. And at that point, I had 4 years of, you know, I could barely walk. I just, you know, I got to do this. I don't regret it, even though I had some issues around it. But, you know, I'm sure it's very likely it could have been TMS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How did you reconcile that with, because I had an injury last year where I dislocated the fibula in my ankle and tore a couple of ligaments. And, you know, in my TMS, in my everything is TMS mind, I kept saying, like, I should be 100% a week. I should be 100% 2 weeks. And then, right, like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks keep going by and I'm still like not 100% and it's still bothering me. And I still have, like, I would try and squat down and I literally felt like I had a blockage in my ankle joint. And I just couldn't reconcile that this was anything but TMS. And then I went and saw a physical therapist and she pointed out where my fibula was actually dislocated. Because I didn't seek the help for it early on. And so I'd been walking around with this really strange feeling in my ankle, like this kind of unsteadiness. She reset the bone. The big bulge went away that was there. And then she taped it into place and just said, keep it taped for a couple of weeks and you're going to be fine. And that's exactly what happened. But I had this big wrestling with myself, you know, for a month and a half that maybe it's not, maybe it is. I don't think it is. I did that kind of back and forth. How did you reconcile that in the hip issue?
Well, it's interesting because you're the only person I know. I've had more than two shoulder dislocations and hip dislocation. So I'm, you know, a dislocation is, I mean, very traumatic.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because it was I went to the hip because I don't know, at that point it was just so painful and I wasn't as clued in to how I am now, because I think I was a little out of touch with this all until I found you and Nicole. I think it's almost a year and a half ago. But what's interesting is I dislocated my hip twice, and upon going into the second surgery to put some kind of cup in, the surgeon came over to me and he said, have you ever had back pain? And I said, not since I went to Sarno 30 years ago. And he wanted to show me my x-rays and he was floored that I had no back pain. And I said, don't show me, I don't want to see. And I've never had back pain, but he couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's interesting you're talking about hips. I tell my wife this often, but my dad has had both hips replaced, and my mom has made this suggestion since I was probably 25 that I should just go, just for fun, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me, just for fun, to go and get both hips x-rayed every year just to watch degeneration happen. And I'm like, sounds like a terrible idea. I'm not into doing that at all, because maybe they find something and I didn't have pain, and then you kind of start to, like, I remember Steve Ozanich was on my podcast like 4 years ago and he started talking about people with elbow pain. And about 5 minutes later, my elbow really started bugging me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my therapist, Kirsten Fliegler, she said back in the day, you're so suggestible. And these are the words a lot of you guys use, you know, suggestible or vigilant. So I couldn't hear about people's pains until recently. Now it doesn't bother me because I'm so confident in this all, that I'm not worried that I'm going to have fibromyalgia or vertigo or whatever. You know, the dislocations are a little freaky. I wonder what, you know, a Dr. Schubner would say,
So when was the last time that you had a dislocation of some kind?
2 years ago, and this was, I think these dislocations, you know, are traumatic. So you have PTSD, and for me, I'm an anxious freaker outer, or I used to be, so that it speaks to the body's always in this fight or flight. But I was at my stepson's wedding in Arizona. I brushed up against my husband so lightly to go greet the guests, and my right shoulder dislocated, and at this party. And the father of the bride is an orthopedic surgeon, so he came and popped it back in.
God.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. He's drunk off his. And I did have surgery on the shoulder because, again, with dislocations, I mean, that's not a TMS thing. I'm curious what Sarna would say about that. So almost two years ago, I had the shoulder surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I know that people can dislocate shoulders and not have an injury after. You kind of have to do it really perfectly to not have any sort of damage. But damage doesn't always mean long-term pain or that you need to get it corrected and things like that. Because with mine, there was 6 months in between dislocation and surgery, and I felt like 99% by the time that I went to surgery and then actually had it happen. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I would have had residual issues if I would have avoided it. But I feel pretty comfortable that I probably would have been okay. But I do know that it happened on an 85 kilo snatch, which I did make. However, my arms just kept going backwards over my head, over my head, over my head. And I, right. and I kept the bar there, but it took a long time, even after I had recovered, to even try that weight again. I would stay a kilo below it or go a kilo above it, but I wouldn't right. go right there. Cause I just kept, you know, I just kept thinking, like, whether it's, you know, a fear or just having, you know, thinking, oh God, this could be bad luck. And
For me, I lived in fear of it happening all the time. So my body was so, you know, whatever, this fight and flight, fight or flight. But I think having the surgery, psychologically thinking that he locks me in now, I'm locked in. So, I mean, you know, I'm not doing certain exercises, but I think psychologically having the surgery just made me feel better.
What sort of issues in that time, so in the last couple of years, do you find, like, let me give you an example. Things that come up for me that I start getting pain or symptoms or whatever with, that then I start addressing in a TMS way. Mm-hmm. I get like right knee pain will happen. I get a little bit of right trap pain, and then some like mid back stuff. And that's kind of usually where those things sort of settle, is having those, you know, having some pain issues there. And then I do my typical TMS thing, and mm-hmm. and then I end up being fine. Are there any particular parts of your body or symptoms where they, you know, they come up and then you do your thing and then they're gone? Like, do you have anything that, like that? So tell us about those.
Yeah. So right this second, I am having left hip, like, it's a weird, I don't know that it's called pain, but it's a sensation. And I'm sure it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to do the quote unquote work or just no, but it's just, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
I mean, again, the headaches were the longest, most painful, debilitating one.
Yeah.
So the fact that now I know, I mean, I always woke up with them when they would happen. So if I had a bad dream, so a couple of days ago, I woke up, it was bad, but I just knew right away the certain words to use that I've learned in the self-soothing, that it just went away. And it's fascinating to me now. It's not, I'm kind of obsessed with this topic, and you know, that's, but from a fascination place, not a fear place.
Right. I you know, I'm totally with you. How does your, you know, people that are in your personal life, that maybe don't know the ins and outs of your background and the different things that you've done or had to deal with or things like that, like, say that you had a friend that came up and just started telling you about some kind of, you know, back pain or whatever that they were having. What is your general attitude or response in those situations?
Oh, God. Well, so back years ago, I mean, I'm a very intense person. And when I believe in something, I'm just so, I don't know how someone can't see.
Yeah.
So I have to work on that, because I think when, you know, I have, you know, one friend, she's been in severe back pain. My brother-in-law has a million issues and they're so resistant. Another brother-in-law is a doctor. My sister-in-law is a nurse. So I get mad. So I really have to work on that. I'm curious to hear how you all deal with that. My husband believes in this all, he's 63 and he still plays hardball against 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
And he's the catcher. I mean, he's like a anomaly.
I was going to say he's everything I want to be in 25 years.
I mean, he's 6'3", 250 pounds, and he's their catcher.
That's awesome.
It's and their power hitter, but. So I have a problem with people when I have to just shut my mouth and let them live with pain.
Yeah. I'm kind of where you are for the first year, certainly the first year, probably the first couple of years, I was far more, vocal. If I had somebody in my personal life that was having an issue, whether it was a friend or family member or whatever, I would be pretty, you know, I'd be pretty loud about it. And then I remember, I think it was like Mother's Day of 2018 or 2019. It was one of the two. And I gave my mom two Sarno books, and she had just said, you know, my pain is real, right? And that was kind of the end of that, of me being out there with it.
Right.
However, since then, I would have, like, there was a friend of mine who went to my gym And she was having like a really great athlete. And, you know, we would do CrossFit and weightlifting and stuff together. And she was having this wrist issue that was going on for 8 or 9 months. And I noticed that she would stop doing certain types of movements and she'd put on a brace a lot. And I was just thinking, like, like, you're 33 or 32. What happened? And it was, and the way she described it to me was just an all of a sudden thing. And maybe it's carpal tunnel or, you know, whatever. And it's like, but you didn't have like a trauma event. And she said, no. And I just started explaining the Sarno stuff to her. And she listened. I don't know if she applied any of it, but she didn't throw me out the window, basically.
Right.
You know, which was nice to not have like a visceral response.
Right. So I'm learning when to zip it and, you know, when maybe I bring it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I have to work on that.
There's a couple of things that I want to get some more detail on. I'm going to write them both down because I feel like they're both really merited and I don't want to forget either of them. Now, answer this question with as much depth or as little depth as you want, but I'm just sort of curious, particularly in the beginning when you were working with Sarno, what sort of things, themes came up or things you had to address or think about, or like what was he or you kind of, because I think that sentence you said early on, I feel there's rage in my back, basically. Yep.
Yeah.
What sort of things did you have to address or think about or consider really early on? Or what did Sarno bring you to? Because for some people, it's just like, you know, they had this really terrible event that happened when they were 7 and they're rehashing it. And then other people, it's like, you know, maybe it's a little bit more surface than that. Give us some details on.
Well, so not to get too deep, I mean, I'm open about it. So my mother, my real mother, committed suicide when I was 2.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I've had a, and I never knew, my father remarried. Then my mother, who adopted me when I was 19, I was home from college and she woke up with this visceral, guttural scream. She woke up paralyzed. And I didn't realize how much these events affected me. I mean, those were the two major, she had MS. And she just went right into, I mean, she was 49 years old. So in my 20s, my mid-20s, I went for therapy, just to a regular therapist. And I was dealing with the rage and the, you know, all that you're dealing with. But I was so cut off from my feelings. My people would tell me, you smile when you talk about your mother's suicide or whatever. And it was almost, I was so detached from it. So right when the back pain started to happen is when I really think I was feeling all the rage about it. Interesting, that word. And I've heard Nicole speak about this, or all of you guys, when I felt so scared to be mad at my father or my, you know, whomever, it was like I didn't realize, you know, you could feel rage and hate them. And in fact, that's healthy to feel. So I think Sarno talked about that and wanting me to, he would push me to deal with the rage, and I was scared to.
How did he define, if you can explain it, because I think sometimes I have a really hard time explaining what I mean on the podcast about feeling the, or experiencing
right.
the, talk about the feeling of, and how does he explain it, or how did he suggest that you go about even doing that?
Well, you know, I don't think I really, this has been my problem, I think, of why I always had all these pains, that I really got more from Nicole and Dan Buglia, that I don't know that Sarno really did, or maybe I wasn't as clued in because I was so, you know, effed up in those days, but being really feeling them instead of talking about them.
Yeah.
So I think I was great at intellectualizing, you know, my mother committed suicide, but I didn't feel the feelings.
In your body, so, is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I did, you know, that's why the headaches, but I didn't connect it. So now, you know, if I could be on the couch and my husband's doing something that annoys me, I'll feel like I'm pissed at him then in that moment. I'm better in the moment at feeling the anger or the shame, feeling embarrassed or whatever the feelings are.
Is there anything that you do as a, for lack of a better term, maintenance plan? Or is it you're, you know, you essentially wait until this headache comes on, or, you know, whatever the symptom is, and then you address it?
Yeah, no, that's another thing I'm learning. And also Dr. Dan Ratner, I was on his podcast.
Oh,
and
great.
Yeah, one of the things he talked about was this TMS language all the time in a way, but without being obsessed with it. So it's like now we're talking and I have this weird pain in my left hip, a weird sensation. And it's kind of this language is always in the background.
Yeah.
Or if I'm pissed, I will go upstairs. I'll say to my husband, you know, you just gave me what to journal about or something, you know, if I'm pissed at him. And I'll go up and I'll write. You know, I don't write every day in a journal, but I write with a different intention. I had always journaled. And when I did find Nicole, I actually threw out 40 years of journaling. And it felt really cathartic. So now I have this erasable one. So I do that a couple of times a week. And now I've been meditating every day for about 10 years. And that's been probably that and the indifference that Dan Buglia talks about. And
that's good stuff. So, is there anything in particular, do you just treat the journaling the couple times a week of, journaling? Do you just treat it as more of like, I keep feeling like I'm saying for lack of a better term, but I just don't have anything better to say, but, like an inventory dump, is that kind of how you treat it?
Yes. Well, first of all, I don't do it every day, but if I'm feeling pissed off, I'll just do it because, yes, I'll know that it's like excavating all the ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
How, you know, we're more than a year into this pandemic. New York, just like Washington, you know, we're on opposite coasts, but in a lot of ways we've been the hotspots, the epicenters, or whatever you want to call them, for this pandemic for a year and change now. Washington's doing fantastic. I mean, we're about to roll back on restrictions because we've been really bad in the last month. But prior to that, we had a really good, you know, run of 7 or 8 months or whatever before that. How has, if at all, that, to your belief, impacted, you know, your symptoms or your experience or whatever you want to, or not at all?
Well, this is actually, and maybe no accident. I think that I was dealing prior to pandemic. I think I had PTSD or, you know, New York City working. My office is very loud. It's, you know, my shoulder. I feel like I was on such a high, like the dial was turned up so intensely.
Yeah.
So honestly, this year, I mean, selfishly, I'm obviously sad about what's going on in the world and everybody, but for me, selfishly, I've loved it.
Yeah.
And I've been able, it's given me the opportunity to speed up my healing. Even though I've been on this journey for 30 years, I feel like the last year, because again, all I do is listen to these podcasts, and, you know, right, I'm a little obsessed, but it just, I'm all about, I have to take care of me. At 60 years old, I've never felt better. I feel better now than I did in my 40s and early 50s. I was pretty good in my 20s and 30s. I was very athletic,
yeah.
But I don't come from fear anymore. So it's been great for me. I love being home. I have a long commute. You know, I don't really ever need to go back to the city again. I like working from home. I get to see my husband. So it's been very nourishing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I was, it's funny you sort of describe it in that way. I was talking to my mom a couple of days ago. My kids went over there to play for a few hours and I went and rode my motorcycle and did that whole thing. But when I came over there, she was talking about how it seemed like our county was probably going to roll back on restrictions and go back. And what that includes is, like, you know, restaurants go from 50% in capacity to 25%, or maybe even it's takeout only or whatever the case is. But there's a lot of restrictions. And I had said that, like, none of that stuff, like, really impacts me.
Right.
Because, like, I'm married. I have two young daughters. It's not like I go really anywhere anyway. The fact that a bar can't, you know, can't seat more than 25% capacity does not impact me in any way because I'm, you know, I'd have to be here with them anyway. I haven't been able to go out and see, visit my clients because now everything has been over Zoom for the last year. And I would love to go and see some of my clients in person. But yeah, I agree. And I subscribe to this pro wrestling podcast service. I pay $50 a month, but I get all these podcasts that don't have any ads. And I just get, literally, I'll wake up in the morning and I've got 7 new ones to listen to. And so I've gotten so many walks right out of the way where I can listen to these podcasts. So yeah, that's interesting. So I remember early on, I interviewed a therapist. This was like a week into the pandemic, and I was talking to her about certain things. on the podcast. We just did like a quick interview, and she was sort of talking about some of the things that she would expect to happen with her patients in the next year. And I feel sort of selfish having the perspective that you have shared mm-hmm. of like, it hasn't impacted me all that much. In fact, maybe in some ways it's been good selfishly that it's been good, but I totally hear what you're talking about.
Right. And I mean, I'm in sales also. I'm a headhunter, and my business obviously took a huge hit.
Yeah.
But I have much more emotional room to speak to my candidates. They even see a difference.
Yeah.
I'm just happier and way more peaceful. I have tons more emotional room.
I've had this phrase in sales, for a long time. And I think you'll relate to what I'm saying, that I sort of feel like in my post TMS life, where I just sort of am generally more, because I used to be like, so go, like super competitive in the sales world and all that kind of stuff. And that sort of went away. And it could also just be that I'm in my mid 30s now and there's just other stuff in life. But the way that I see it, regardless really of where my numbers are at or where I'm performing, I kind of always have this sense and feeling and when I'm talking with clients that I'm talking almost from like playing ahead. Like, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to give you the full story. And if we don't work together, we don't work together, and that's fine. That would not have been my tone previously. How do you feel in sales when it comes to how has TMS stuff impacted that?
Well, you know, so I've always been, again, I'm intense. I used to like to be, I was very competitive. I had to be the biggest producer. But that changed way before pandemic because it is something about aging. I'll tell you, you know, you really get to a point, you know, I don't need to be the queen bee. It's fine. I do okay. But I just think I'm, again, back to, I'm much more peaceful. I'm content. I'm not freaked out anymore. Yeah. So I don't live in constant fear of the pains.
Yep.
And therefore, I don't get them. And if I do, and this is where I was trying to, Dan Ratner talked about it, like where, especially when the therapists talk about it, we're human. So you may be struggling, you just mentioned, with certain shoulder pain or ankle pain. We're human, but you don't get it. It doesn't get out of hand because you have the tool. We have the tools now.
Yeah. 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 The other thing I wanted to come back to that you talked about really early on was, and something that Sarno was working with you on, was soothing. So, you know, you get to a certain like apex of rage and it's time to do some self-soothing. What were some of the things that you would do then, or maybe even that you do now, that would address that?
Well, you know, and again, back to him, you know, he just, did you ever meet him?
No. So he, ironically, he passed away the day before I found his book.
I remember that in your story. So he was, again, you know, I always liked therapists or people who were soft and nurturing and, you know, like the mommy figures, you know, so I was gravitated towards women therapists. And Sarno was anything but tender. He was very gruff, but in his way, there was also something so, I don't know, like if nurturing, confident. So I don't know that he was really the one to teach me those tools, and or I was so out of it in those days that I didn't connect to it. So because with Nicole and Dan, that now I literally will say the words, you know, you're okay, you're okay, honey. I don't have kids, so I talk to myself as if I did, you know, as if I did have a little girl. So I have the words and the tone. I used to get, and Sarno did talk about this, so rageful. I always felt like my body was betraying me. I mean, to be 46 and limping and then have a shoulder dislocation or walking like an old lady, I felt like my body was betraying me, which a lot of people have talked about.
Yeah.
So instead of hating my body, which I did, and or I felt like I was the only one. None of my friends had chronic anything, although everyone does. So I feel less alone now with this community and have the word self-soothe.
Alone's an interesting word in that respect, because I think that you had said, like, my friends don't have chronic anything, even though everybody does. And then the next sentence you had said, don't feel so alone in it. So my hypothesis is that a lot of people do have chronic something, but they feel alone, so they don't talk about it, right? And that's the catch.
Right.
That's the catch 22 where you could be standing in a grocery line and this person seems like they have the whole world in the palm of their hand.
Right.
But in reality, they likely don't.
Right. And then to, on top of it, my husband, who takes very good care of me, is a great guy. But, you know, he's a father of boys. And I do think father, no disrespect to the father of boys, there's more of a suck it up mentality.
Yeah.
So when I did dislocate my, because I've dislocated, I fell and we were having a party. My husband wasn't home and my left shoulder dislocated. And I was rushed to the emergency room and the party happened. It was a crazy story. Anyway, the next day I didn't go to work. And my husband said, what are you taking to the bed? Like, it's just a dislocated shoulder.
Yeah.
And so living with someone who's a little of that mentality, you know, he never gets anything. But yes, most people do.
Yeah. 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 I'm not a dad of boys. I'm a dad of girls, but it's funny. Right. My older one, a lot of times, like, you know, we'll be having a talk about, like, let's say that the girl next door bullies her for whatever reason, or, you know, says something shitty, or, you know, does something shitty, or whatever the case is. And she's so upset and she's crying about it. And we'll sit there and I'll hold her and we'll kind of talk about it. But then at the end, when I know she's kind of like past that corner of like, okay, this is going to be okay. And, you know, it's fine. We've talked it through and stuff. And sometimes I'll close it out with saying, and Zoe, don't be a jerk.
No.
Just like, you know, going from like the soft tender to then getting exactly a little bit of the gruff that maybe the suck it up dads could get it. Cause I'm never going to experience that outside of my male dog.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's 12 and his back end doesn't work all that well anymore. And so I can't be like that with him. He's too sweet.
Right. Enjoy. Yeah.
Well, so as we wrap up in the last couple of minutes here, I guess, like, what would kind of be your words of wisdom or two cents? There's inevitably people from all walks of life that are sitting listening to this right now, or they're on a walk listening to this, or driving in the car, or whatever the case is. And let's just say that they're like on their, you know, their early stages of finding out or learning about TMS stuff. They're sitting there and they've got this pain of whatever it is. They've read Sarno's books. They feel like they're not really getting anywhere. What is a couple of the biggest nuggets of wisdom or just thoughts that you can give them that maybe they're overlooking or not thinking about as right. a tip?
Yeah. So, I mean, the main is to, you know, it just sounds so easier said than done. I want people to have hope. You know, I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted sharing it and wanting it. So if I could get better and heal, anyone can. I know this work works. There's 100% being tender with yourself, surrendering when you want something so badly and it doesn't happen. And the minute you know, it's like in sales, the minute you walk away from your computer, the client called and you close the deal. When you kind of surrender, so live your life as Dan Buglia says and go out for the walk anyway. But I feel like I have to self-soothe before I could even do that to the, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
And those two things combined.
Yeah. I think those are great tips. Hey, Karen, thank you so much for joining for a while today. This was a real treat. It's nice to finally actually connect with you and hear this part of your story. It's a unique perspective to get somebody that saw Sarno all those years ago and then, you know, had other issues that came up, but can still apply a lot of that initial wisdom to today's world.
Yes. Thank you for all your work you're doing. Really, you don't know how many people you're helping. I mean, you were one of my early podcasts, and I just thank you so much.
That's so great to hear. Thanks, Karen.
Yes. Okay. Have a good one.